thanks for checking out this message from Springmount Church.
For more information about us and what we do, visit our website, springmount.church.
Why not check out all the different groups that run throughout each week in Barrow and on Walney?
And join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Salthouse Pavilion in Barrow Infirmary.
If you would like us as a church to pray for you, please email prayer@springmount.church.
Or sign up on our website for monthly news straight to your inbox.
It was good to have Ray with us last week and enjoyed watching him on the podcast as we do our series on questions that Jesus asked. And it's got to be quite a reasonable series leading us up to the summer, really, because there's lots of things. It's really important to keep going back to Jesus. It's really important as a church that we don't get just caught up in lots of distinct and theology, but it's really important we get back to Jesus continually. And so today I want to do just that again, and we're going to look at another question that Jesus asked. But I don't know about you, you've heard the saying, perhaps from celebrities' mouths, "Don't you know who I am?" You know? I don't think I've ever had the chance to ask it. I remember on my wedding day, I was at the church very early, and a couple arrived quite early called Anne and Phil Ray. Some of you may know Anne and Phil Ray. I knew them. Their daughter was about to become Joel's nursery teacher, so I knew them quite well. And I went up to them in my suit, and I said, "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Ray." And Mrs. Ray said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, it's my wedding day. I'm the groom." So that's probably the closest I've ever come to, "Don't you know who I am?" You know, I'm the groom, and she's never lived it down. I think Phil used to laugh about it all the time. But don't you know who I am? There was a famous story about Chris Hoy, the cyclist, the gold medal winning cyclist for GB, who turned up at one of the games to the Chris Hoy Arena and wasn't allowed in because he didn't have his ID. And the guard was like, "Well, who are you?" He's like, "I'm Chris Hoy. It's named after me. Let me in." And actually, there's a much more famous story that many of you may have heard. And it was a favourite appearing towards the end of Queen Elizabeth II's life. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. She regularly would go to Balmoral Castle up in Scotland and go with her one security man, Dick Griffin. And they would have a picnic in the grounds of Balmoral Castle with her headscarf on, wrapped up against the cold. And her security detail tells this story. I'm very apologetic here. It does feature some Americans who don't quite understand things, so do apologise to anyone in here who might take offence. "But there were two hikers coming towards us," he says, "and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. It was clear from the moment we first stopped that they hadn't recognised the Queen, which is absolutely fine. The American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, and I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, 'And where do you live?' She said, 'Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just on the other side of these hills.' And this American man said, 'Well, how often have you been coming up here?' And she said, 'Well, I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over about 80 years. And you could see the cogs ticking in this man's head, and he said, 'Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen.' And as quick as a flash, she said, 'Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly.' So the American guy said to the security guard, Dick, he said, 'You've met the Queen? What's she like?' And because he'd been with her a long time and he knew that he could pull her leg, he said, 'Oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour.' The next thing he knew, this American guy comes around, puts his arm around his shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera and gives it to the Queen and says, 'Could you take a picture of the two of us?' Anyway, we then swapped places and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on and we waved goodbye, and Her Majesty said to me, 'I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows those photographs to their friends in America. And hopefully someone tells him who I am.'" What a story is that? She's on all the banknotes that he had. But they didn't know who she was. Who do you think I am? Who are you? Who do you say I am? Well, today, who we are is important. But Jesus asks his disciples a very similar question. Not about who we are, but who he is. So we're going to read some verses, just a short passage in a few little chunks. Matthew chapter 16, if you've got your Bibles with you, from verses 13 to 20. And we're going to also just skip to a book of Daniel at some point as well, very quickly. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. If you haven't got a Bible, the words will come up on the screen. Thanks, Ewan. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." I'm just going to stop there on those verses. Who do the people say I am? Jesus has taken his disciples off to one side, and they say, some say, you know, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, that might be confusing for some of us, so we need to look at what he means by that. The Son of Man is the title that Jesus calls himself the most, and it appears and stems from the book of Daniel in chapter 7. So quickly, we'll flick to Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 to 14. This was Daniel's vision at the beginning of chapter 7. It says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, it's important to know that background, because when we hear it, we think Son of Man, well, surely Jesus is just saying he's human. You know, I'm a Son of Man, I'm the Son of George, okay? You may be the son of somebody else. Well, you are the son of somebody else. That's one of those things I say off the top of my head that I get wrong. But the Son of Man to us might mean, oh, he's just human. But actually, when we look at Daniel, that title means something much more. Daniel says, "I saw one that was like a Son of Man." In other words, he looked human. "Coming with the clouds of heaven." He was coming in glory. And he could approach the Ancient of Days. That's God. He could approach Yahweh. He could approach the Father. He could go into the presence of God. He could walk into the presence of God. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. So when we hear the word Son of Man, it's not just he's a human. He is somebody who had access to the very presence of God, which at that time, very few people did. He had access to stand in front of God. He had access, he had authority, he had dominion, he had power, he was sovereign. So he's not just a man. So when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he's saying big things. He's saying, I'm not just a man, I am that one that's been promised. I am the one who has been in front of the Ancient of Days. I am the one with all power. I am the one whose kingdom will never be destroyed. I am the forever king. I am the one who will always be. Yeah? So when Jesus says Son of Man, that's what he's saying. That's pretty big, big claims. Pretty big claims. So that's where we need to go back and see that. He wasn't just another king. He was the forever king. He was eternal, indestructible king. That's what Jesus is saying about himself, with power over all people, nations, and tribes. So when you say, who's Jesus? This is who Jesus says he is. This is who Jesus says he is. He says, I'm the Son of Man, the forever king, with all the authority of God, the promised and chosen one. Where does Jesus ask this question? He asks it away from the crowds. He takes it into a quiet place. He doesn't ask it. He's not there for an opinion poll, is he? He's not there to say, right, everybody, let's have a vote. Who do you think I am? You know, we could have a vote this morning. I did think about it, but it could be quite dangerous. You know, I could say who likes me, who doesn't. That would be really bad, wouldn't it? It'd be like Brexit all over again. And I'd go away crying. Like Brexit all over again. Anyway, where was he? He's in Caesarea Philippi. Now, what do you know about Caesarea Philippi? There's a statue to Caesar. Well, not just that, Tim. There's a statue to lots of things. I've asked you a question that you've probably read in your Bible goodness knows how many times. And yet nobody really. Francis, I know you probably know. Okay, it's all right. I know you probably know. I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that we read stuff and we don't really look into it? We read it and just skim over it. Caesarea Philippi is really relevant to what Jesus says next. Caesarea Philippi was one of the most pagan places around throughout the whole of the Old and New Testament. It was one of the most pagan places of worship. Yes, it had a statue of Caesar, but also there was a statue attributed to the fertility god Pan that stood in front of an open cave within a rocky mountain where the images of many pagan gods were carved. Now, it's thought that this is perhaps where Jesus is saying this. It's a quiet place. It's away from the town center. He's in front of this statue of Pan. He's in front of this cave. He's in front of this rocky outcrop where there's lots of worship of idols going on. And he says to his disciples, who's everyone think I am? What's the goss? What's the score? What are people saying? Well, do you know, this cave that this statue of Pan is in front of is a very famous cave, and it's known as the Gates of Hades. Okay? This cave, well done, Francis. Did she whisper that to you, Jill, just to make sure? Yeah, okay. You get a point, Francis. Well done. You're winning 1-0. Okay? The cave is known as the Gates of Hades. Known as the Gates of Hades. It was a place that contained a spring that had stopped flowing, and Josephus, the Jewish historian, described it as a deep cave with water, the bottom of which no one has ever reached. In other words, they were scared. They were scared of water anyway, to some extent, but actually they were scared to go deep. They were scared to go in it because people probably never came out of it. So it was known as the Gates of Hades. And now there was an earthquake and water flows from the base of the cliff instead of from the cave. That cave does not have a spring of water flowing from it. Why? Because it's the Gates of Hades. But actually at the base of the cliff in another place, there's a reminder that Jesus said, I am the water of life, because the stream is now flowing out of the cliff lower down into the town. So the Gates of Hades is in Caesarea Philippi. Let's remember that, shall we? And Jesus brings them to this place that of everything that God isn't and says to them, what are people saying? What are people saying about me? What's the goss? You know, we love a good opinion poll, as I say. Look at election night when it used to be John Snow, didn't it? And now it's Jeremy. Is it Jeremy Vine that does it now? I don't know, jumping around with all the graphics saying who's going to win and there's going to be this swing here and that swing there and all these things. We love an opinion poll. We love to find out what's good and what isn't, you know, with graphics. But in most recent elections, both here and in the USA, the opinion polls have got it spectacularly wrong. No opinion poll actually recognised that Donald Trump would ever become president. Guess what? He did. Opinion polls can be wrong. If I went outside to Barrow today and asked them what's the best football club in the world, you'd get a variety of answers. Many of them would be wrong. Especially if it was Manchester United. I'm not even going to go there with anything else. But a recent poll asked people, what is the key to go to heaven? That was a question that was asked to the general public. What is the key to go to heaven? Now, if I said that to you this morning, I would hope most of you who come to this church regularly would know that actually to be with God, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. That's it. It's about Jesus. There's no opinion about it. It's about Jesus. We'll come to that in a moment. But the opinion polls said this, 60.5%. What do you think the top answer was? Being a good person, living a good life. 60.5% believed if they lived a good life, they'd be okay. What constitutes a good life? Who's the judge of that? Who's going to make the decision of what's good, what's bad? Who's going to make the decision of where we draw the line? You know? Who's going to make that decision? 32.5% said having connections with someone at the top. I suppose that's closer. You know, if you know Jesus, you've got definitely someone who knows the connections at the top. He is the top. 32.5%. So that's the bulk of the answers. 2.2% said it was about helping old ladies across the street. So if you go outside today, ladies, if you're above a certain age and somebody grabs hold of you, you know they've not listened to the rest of this morning's message. Okay, so I'll be watching. So helping old ladies across the street, 2.2% said that's what it was about. No, it isn't. Because the old ladies might not want to go across the street. So you might be taking them across from where they don't want to go. That's not very nice. Anyway, 1.7% said you could bribe somebody on the gates. 1.6% said having a good letter of reference. And that might be the old brethren traditions there, maybe. 1% said making a deal with the devil. And lastly, the smallest percent, which I think is about 0.5%, believed that they could lie their way in. That they could just make it up. Okay? That is an opinion poll. They can't all be right. In fact, when you read it, there's really only one that's close, and even that's not right. We can listen to the opinions of people and the attitudes of people and get it spectacularly wrong. Because actually none of those things are what God says we need. And the same poll asked the question if they believed they were going to go to heaven. And 91.2% said yes. Goodness knows which area they thought was going to get them there. But nearly all of them believed that there was something and that they were going there. Yet their opinion was all over the place, wasn't it? You know, people want to have the comfort of knowing that this life isn't just it. People want the comfort of knowing there is something more. You don't need to just have the comfort. You can have the certainty. You can have the certainty that Jesus died so we can live. You can have the certainty that you can be forgiven for the past and that this life right now is that big compared to an eternity with God. They have no real idea what it's about. You know, this morning I need to tell you again. It's not about opinion. It's all about Jesus. Doesn't matter what your opinion is. Those opinions are all wrong. It's all about Jesus. You know, every religion has an opinion on who Jesus is. That's interesting, isn't it? That the world religions recognize Jesus and have an opinion on who he is. So Buddhists believe that Jesus was just a wise and enlightened man similar to Buddha himself. So they believe that Jesus was there, but they don't get it right compared to what Jesus is saying. He says, I'm the Son of Man, not just an enlightened, wise person. Jesus is saying himself, I am the one who can walk in front of God Almighty as his Son with all power and authority. Hindus believe he was an incarnation of one of many gods and a wise man. Muslims believe he was the prophet and miracle worker, but then was surpassed by Muhammad and he wasn't crucified or raised from the dead. Mormons believe he was a spirit being, effectively the brother of Lucifer who fell and became Satan. They also believe Jesus went to America while he was in the grave, but we'll go there. Jehovah's Witnesses believe he was the God's first created one. So he wasn't always there. He was made first. And he was the angel Michael, the archangel Michael. So he was just an angel. They can't all be right, can they? Can they? They can't. And yet, I know sometimes people say Christianity, you know, there's an arrogance. It's not arrogant. It's just saying, actually, there's one way and you need to grab it with both hands. It's not trying to say we're better. It's saying help is here. It's not saying what you believe is rubbish. No, it's saying there's a better way. And actually, Jesus makes sense of it all. Jesus makes sense of it all. They can't all be right. So Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say I am? What do the crowds think? What do all these people think of me? And the disciples' answer is this. Some say John the Baptist. Well, is that right? Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. How does that work? John the Baptist at this point has just been beheaded. How can Jesus be John the Baptist? Some say he's John the Baptist. They're not right. Some say Elijah. Why? Because Elijah had come before the Messiah. But they'd also thought John the Baptist was Elijah. So they can't both be right. They can't both be right. Some say just a prophet. So at least they recognize that something is different about this guy. At least the opinion there is there's something different. He's out of the ordinary. He's not just an ordinary man. Do you know, we could ask the same question today outside of that door. We could even ask the same question today in this room. And some people in this room may say they don't really know who Jesus is. And actually, if that's you today, then please speak to the prayer team when we pray, because that's so important. Because Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one who has all authority. I'm a forever king. I'm the one who is the humble king who rides on a donkey. I'm the one who comes that you might have life. Do you know, they asked the crowd and the crowd's answers were wrong. Are you relying on the crowd today? Are you relying on the opinions of people in the media, opinions of people on the street? I've just given you plenty of examples where the opinions of people on the street get it spectacularly wrong. Are you putting your life in the hands of an opinion poll? Or are you putting your life in the hands of a Savior who says, come to me all who are weary, come to me all who are thirsty, come to me and I will give you rest? What are we doing today? Because Jesus then goes on to ask a similar but more direct question. So there's two questions, you get two for one today. Bog off, buy one, get one free. Not bog off, okay? Two questions today. The first one is, who's everyone say I am? And then Jesus asks his disciples a more personal, more direct question. And he says this, but what about you? I'm going to ask you the same question today. What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Jesus said to his disciples, but what about you? Who do you say I am? I believe he's asking the question today of everyone in the whole world. Not what does everyone else think of me, but who do you say I am? What do you think? Because the crowd gets it wrong. The crowd gets it wrong. Yet us as individuals have got the answers in front of us in his Bible. You know, the world worships anything and everything in the hope it gets them somewhere. That's where Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, where they worshipped anything and everything in the hope it got them somewhere. Where they hoped if they can lie their way in, where they hope they can bribe their way in, where they hope taking a letter will be good, where they hope taking an old lady across the road will sort it out. Who do you say he is? What do you think for yourself? What do you see? Do you know, there was a program on many years ago on Channel 4 called Space Camp. Does anyone remember it? No? It was quite a... It was Johnny Vaughan presented it. And the idea was it was a reality show. They've only ever done it once. And they wanted a group of people, and they told them they were going to take them to this space station, and they were going to get them to do some experiments and then bring them down. And it was an opportunity for some members of the general public to go up into space, okay? They weren't going up into space. But the first program was all about how they chose their victims. And they needed suggestible people, because most people would know that when they're told, oh, you won't feel the effects of anti-gravity or no gravity because we've got a special machine that stops you floating around. Okay, so they were told all this stuff, and they would look out of the windows and see holographic images projected. They would see fake stuff. And actually what happened in the end is they were flown from an airbase round and round in circles, and while they were flying up in the air round and round in circles, the people on the ground made it look like some Soviet place. It was down in Newquay, I think, or Cornwall or somewhere. They made it look like some Soviet Cold War place. And then they landed thinking they landed where they took off, basically. Then they put them in this machine that simulated going up into space, and then they got them in space, told them all this stuff. But they had to choose people who were suggestible, because most people would be going, hang on a minute. You know, it wasn't like Big Brother where they evicted them and opened the door and said, out you go. It wasn't like that. But most people would be going, hold on a second, this just isn't quite right. So they did several tests. You're thinking, why on earth am I talking about this? I'll tell you why. They did several tests to see who they should choose for this mission. And they had to be people who I would say are very gullible, okay? And one of the tests I remember vividly, and this is how they did it. One at a time, these people, hundreds of people auditioned or tried to do this. One at a time, they got them in a room with a man with a white coat who was stood there. And there was a big jar of different sized bouncy balls. Okay? And they were told before they went into the room, they had to write on the flip chart how many bouncy balls they thought were in the jar. Simple, yeah? So far? Simple so far. However, what the people in charge had done was on the flip chart before they went in, they'd put some ridiculous answers. So this jar could probably only hold about 60 to 70 to 80 balls, okay? So some of the answers were saying 753 and 1,010. So what they did was they sent people in and some of them looked at the jar and went with what they saw. So they might write 75. Some of them looked at the jar, looked at the crazy suggestions, and obviously thought, well, I can't go with what I'm thinking, because actually, obviously, all these other answers are very different to what I'm thinking. So they went with the people who went with the suggestions of others. And they chose them for this task. And they believed, by the end of this many-week program, they believed they'd been to space. But they also believed there were 753 balls in a jar that could only hold about 60, 70, 80. So can you see how we are so influenced by people? And actually, next to these things, some people weren't distracted by the opinions and answers of others. Some people were massively distracted by the opinions and answers of others. As far as Jesus is concerned, don't be distracted, because this is about eternal life. This is serious. This is about more than that. You know, they looked at the evidence with their own eyes and made a sensible estimation. They looked at the evidence with their own eyes and they thought, it's got to be this. And yet so many people make a judgment on Jesus based on the opinions of the crowd. Others saw the evidence, but they couldn't get away from what others said and thought. So instead of going with what they saw to be true on the evidence in front of them, they went with the opinions of others. Now, that's a little illustration, but how sad is it if we do that with one of the most crucial decisions of life? If we go with just the opinions and attitudes of people who've never looked at it for themselves, or people who've looked at it through the wrong lenses, who do you say Jesus is? Away from the crowds, away from your friends, away from distractions, away from opinions, away from media, who do you say Jesus is? Because that is what it boils down to today. Who do you say he is? Because when we look deeply for ourselves into his teaching, his life, and the evidence of his church since he was here, the evidence tells you that Jesus is alive. The evidence tells me that Jesus is the genuine article. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, don't look at the fallenness of human leaders. Don't look at the fallenness of churches that have got it wrong. Look at Jesus. The fact that the church has survived incredible persecutions, has faced people who would love to wipe out Christ from every part of life. The church that has grown and stood strong despite the put-downs and the very gates of hell coming against it. Who do you say he is? Simon Peter, as we come to the end of our passage, says this. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," changes his name, means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Can you see it's important to know where Caesarea Philippi is? The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Even in a place that is pagan and full of worship of everything else, it will not overcome who Jesus is, because Jesus is victorious. He makes us more than conquerors. "Simon, son of Jonah, this was not revealed to you. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever is bound here on earth, whatever was bound here on earth, you'd be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Peter says what he sees. It's like the old guy on Catchphrase. Say what you see. Peter says what he says. He says, "You're the Messiah," or the Christ, "the anointed one, the chosen one. For I've given my life to Jesus. Amen, hallelujah. I have accepted him as my Savior." Peter doesn't just remain in that place saying, "You're the Son of the living God." He makes loads of mistakes, but then he becomes the man that God says he can be. He has to grow and develop. He gets it wrong. And Jesus says, "It wasn't revealed to you by men." It wasn't about the opinions of people. It was revealed to you by God himself. God has shown you who I am. If you look with your own eyes at the evidence, God will reveal himself. What does the Bible say? Those who seek will find. Those who knock will be answered. Those who search will find him. It is not going to just fall into your lap. You are not just going to sit there one day and God is going to download it all into your head. There's a great kids song, isn't there, which goes, if all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be. Do you know it, yeah? No? It's very American. It's very Barney, the dinosaur. But then they go, standing outside with my mouth open wide. I'm going a bit mad now, aren't I? Somebody joined in with me. Thank you very much. Okay. If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, what a rain that would be. You'd stand outside, go like that, wouldn't you? Unless you're on a diet, yeah. They'd have to be low sugar. Fanta Zero, lemon drops and gumdrops. Can you imagine if you were on a desert island and water would run out, what would you do? Would you sit there, hope for rain and go, would you? Why not? Why not? Because you'd probably die, I think is the answer to that question. Yet some of us are doing that with our faith. We're going, if you're on a desert island, you've got to dig. You're going to dig deep for water. You're going to try your best to find a source to keep you alive. If you can't do that, you're going to remember all the Bear Grylls programs you've watched. And you're going to wee into something and turn it into water. Okay? Because that's what he does, apparently. I don't know. I don't watch it. But you're not going to just stand there when you are desperate for the very thing that's going to keep you alive and go, are you? But why are we doing that with our faith? Why are you doing that with Jesus? Why are we doing that expecting him to just zap us and expecting him just to fill us rather than dig deep, rather than search it out? If you don't believe in Jesus this morning, don't take the opinions of others. Don't even take what I say necessarily. Listen, read the Bible. Recognize that Jesus himself said, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one with all authority. Finish. Jesus speaks truth into Peter on this rock. Where are they? On a rocky hill, surrounded by pagan gods. Where they stood, the entrance to the gates of hell. Nothing, Jesus says, will stand against my kingdom. Whatever you're going through, nothing will stand against his kingdom. Do you know? Because Jesus is victorious. The whole book of Revelation, you might get your knickers in a twist, some people who read the book of Revelation and say, is it this, that, and the other? No, the whole point of Revelation is saying Jesus wins. Jesus reigns. The whole point of the book of Revelation is saying, you might be going through hell now, but one day we'll all be in a place of the presence of God. That's the point of Revelation. Don't get stuck into anything else. Just recognize the whole point of it is Jesus reigns. And this will not always be how it is. Nothing will stand. And verse 20 finishes with like this. He says, don't tell anyone. What do the crowds think? What do you think? Well, don't tell anyone. It's a bit weird, that, isn't it? One of the reasons for that is he isn't interested in what the crowd thinks. There's a timing for it to happen. He wants people to make their own mind up, not follow a crowd for a fad or a season. He wants people to have a personal relationship and grow in him because they've declared it for themselves. So as I finish this morning, who do you say he is? Is he the Son of the living God? Is he the one that came back to life again and defeated sin, defeated death so that we can have life? Or is he just a wise man? Was he just a good man? Can't be all three. He can be wise, good, and the third, but he can't be all three, or he can't be two out of three, sorry. That's what I meant to say. Because if he's a good man, he wouldn't tell lies about himself. Who do you say he is? Not what your parents have said, not what society have told you, not what faiths have told you. Who do you say he is? Because I know he's the way maker. He's the one who will not be beaten. There's nothing impossible. We've sung it. He is bigger. He is greater. He is glorious. He is the forever king, not the passing fad. But who do you say he is? Let's pray. I'll invite the band up. Do you want access to all areas this morning? Because Jesus is the one who gives it He's the Christ, he's the Son of the living God. Who do you say he is? We're going to sing a reflective song. I don't mean it'll be shiny. We're going to sing a song, and as we sing the words, just think. Take this time to say, who do I believe Jesus to be? And if you're not sure, then get up and go and be prayed. Prayer team are out the back, please, if that would be good. Ready? If you can't go out the back because you can't get up, just raise your hand and someone will come and pray with you. But don't waste the opportunity today to find out who Jesus can be for you. But also, maybe you're like Peter and you've messed up. Jesus says you're the rock. One mess up isn't going to ruin it. Jesus says, come to me, because I am the Son of the living God. We're going to sing, reflect on the words, and then we'll take communion.